American relationship of linking local governments to the state in a better way than they've been linked heretofore. And it's this failure of linkage that I think has led to many of our problems. As I say, I speak only for myself, but I have served on the Trade Executive Board for 5 years. I served on the Project Foresight program, and it comes from 35 years of living in this state. And I care about it, I think you care about it, and I think that this legislation is a good beginning.
Question?
Commissioner Hopp, you know the difficulty, the charges that are being made against regional government, against the COGS. How do you respond to this criticism that the COGS are not really responsive to the people? Do you have an answer to that one?
Yes, I do. I think that the participation of the counties, for example, in the COGS is well known. The adopted resolutions are there. The stated policies of commissioners and city people, I think, should clarify their point relating to COGS, and the voters have an opportunity to make the decision. I think that there are some different questions, though, when you get to Coos County or when you get to Baker County, that are different from the kinds of things we have in the metropolitan area. I don't have the sensitivity or the understanding of those conditions, and I speak mainly from the perspective of suburban county. In the metropolitan area, we need to get together, and we do get together. I think the alternative suggestion of direct election is one that should be kept in the bill. But I would be very, very unhappy if this entire question of the Council of Government thing was stricken from this bill, as has been the rumor. I think it would be dysfunctional to the operations of the State Department if this were done.
Of the two, could I ask a question? Of the two, if there were two choices, one which would be to make the governing bodies of COGS elected, or, question I proposed before, there was an option instead of the language machinery and on the bill, counties would be autonomous and could voluntarily gather together, wouldn't call them councils of government, call them whatever they call themselves. Of those two alternatives, one of the two had to be chosen instead of the language here. Which one would you choose?
Well, I think I prefer the one of getting together on a voluntary basis for this reason. The direct election by districts that may not overlap any given jurisdiction makes a certain sense in terms of one man, one vote. But it doesn't make sense in another way, and that is the local agencies that do exist do provide an enormous amount of information, expertise, and communication as to what are the problems in a regional area. And I think with this kind of new political elite developing without any ties to any given jurisdiction, you'd be rather hard-pressed to get the kind of information and cooperation out of those jurisdictions. What I'm suggesting is that there is a potentiality for conflict between the elected public officials, county commissioners, and the COG elected people.
You choose the second option of the counties with their duly elected county commissioners being able to band together voluntarily,
right,
which would also give us collectively a governing body comprising elected officials,
right,
county commissioners. Senator Rimmer.
I was merely going to pursue the same thing. You mentioned somewhat that the problems of Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah County are this contiguous areas are pretty much across these county lines, where the legislature has the power to create counties and do away with them as they are an instrument of the state, would, and if you feel then that county government might be the best, would it be in any kind of reality to say that maybe the legislature ought to concern itself with combining these three or four counties that do have a general problem, which seems to be the biggest problem center of the state, that county government could then be responsive to the people if you had one super county?
I think that's possible. I don't think that God created Oregon in 36 counties, that they're immutable for all times. But I think it's a road down which you probably would not really want to travel. It's well-mined.
I don't mind managing Portland's affairs any more than they managing mine.
I think we've made enormous strides in sitting down together and working out these problems. And you'll probably be seeing a draft legislation from the metropolitan area in an attempt to strengthen our organization. We feel that is a vehicle that we can use, we can ride on. Now, I don't say that it's the answer for Coos Curry or for the coast or for anywhere else, but my plea to you is to leave it in so that it is an option that we can use. The question of imposing them all over the state, that's something that I would not respond to. And I'm sure that you get many different answers.
Senator Tia. Ellen, as you were talking, and obviously you both are aware of Washington County, I am entirely familiar with the planning process involved in sewer water. I've had some problem in trying to determine the regional nature of land use planning, I think even in terms of Washington County. And I was going to ask you, question as you see it, what is the regional nature of land use planning in Washington County? But then you said something else, which, and I hope I caught it correctly. And you were talking about the local government alone cannot accomplish this kind of thing or something like that. And then you used words, and I may not have gotten it correctly, something about clothed in the power of immunity.
No. My rhetoric perhaps escaped me at that point. The concern that I have is the unification and coordination of joint action among jurisdictions. Washington County dealing with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, I think, is going to come off less successfully, irrespective of the merits of the case, than the Columbia Region Association of Governments dealing with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. What I'm saying is that when we have allies like Multnomah County, City of Portland, Clackamas County, et cetera, we have more strength. And I think that the salvation of local government is in unification and coordination with other agencies pursuing the same kinds of goals.
All right, well, now we're talking, of course, philosophy, and I won't get into that. But then to get back to how the land use planning Washington County, what is, as you see it, its relationship to the regional planning of Columbia, Washington, Multnomah, and Clackamas counties?
Well, I think there are things that happen in Washington County and other counties, major kinds of developments, such as the location of a major industry such as the Tektronix. We'll hopefully get another one. The location of airports, such as the expansion of the Hillsborough Airport. The regional shopping center of Washington Square in the Progress area, Garden Home area. These are things that have a profound effect on the transportation systems, on the sewage system, on the air pollution question, that really go across county boundaries. And I submit to you that in suburbia, which you and I represent, people don't know where they live. They don't know what jurisdiction they live in. They want service, and they want it to coordinate. And there are some things of this magnitude that are of, I think, such significance that they ought to be looked on a larger than county-wide basis. I think we've made some mistakes that other perspectives might have prevented us from making.
May I just follow that? You touched on three specific areas, air pollution, water pollution, let's call it, which is the sewage part of it, and transportation. Now, I'm aware, and as you are as well, that the state has involved itself with, in effect, planning in terms of licensing for both the control of both water and air pollution. So we do have planning in that area, laid over counties generally. Let me follow through just a moment. I'm also aware that the Highway Commission has immense studies in terms of locations of highways, where they're going to go, freeways, even our county roads in relation to the state roads, and that has an effect on the growth and development of communities. communities. And what I'm interjecting now is now the fourth element of planning, which is now this under Senate Bill 100. And I see no real coordination except the state agencies are supposed to check with this new commission.
Well, it seems to me that this is where the action is, this bill, and that's why there's so many people here. In my judgment, everything is subordinate to land use. Sewage, air pollution, transportation, you name the utility. Those are tools that we have to accomplish good land use in the state. Unfortunately, what has happened in the past is that these kinds of things, new roads built, new sewer lines put in, have come ahead of rational decisions on how the land ought to develop. Because those decisions of how the land ought to develop, done on a rational basis by a planning commission or a city or a region, are really tough decisions. And they're ones that are difficult of measurement. You can measure your loading in your sewer system. You can measure the pollution in the air and take steps to do something about it. But how do you measure whether or not you should have open space, whether you should have strict commercial, whether you should have new cities, whether you should just let trends go? Those are the tough questions, the qualitative questions. But they're the kinds of questions that we put off too long. And it would seem to me that this department, working with the local agencies and the region, can start to get a handle on these kind of tough questions. I'd much rather, and I think I would be making much more of a contribution in terms of whatever comprehensive land use plan Washington County comes up with, than the rather considerable prize that we take from the development of our unified sewerage agency. That's a tool to implement our comprehensive land use.
Senator Palmer?
You talked about the concept of regionalized government, or COGS. In your estimation, or you touched upon what they do, seem to me, in your testimony. What, in the first place, do you think it is that makes them work?
I think it's the growing concern that we're all in it together. At least in the metropolitan area, and I can't speak to anything other than our own circumstances. We know, and all we have to do is to go to the meeting, that the people cross those lines without any regard to where they are. Senator Attia frequently gets categorized as a senator from Portland. We know he lives in West Slope or Broadmoor. And I think that's a sort of symptomatic of the problem.
Speaking of, a bit philosophically, then, it kind of sounds like it takes people to make COGS work. And I happen to represent an area where there's less people and more land, and particular resistance to that type of regionalized approach is highly impractical.
It may be.
And I just wondered if in your estimation there were input or there was data that
it's a very difficult animal, first of all, to explain, and it's a level of government that has virtually no constituency, with the possible exception of the local governmental officials that are involved with it and see its necessity. And that is a very difficult thing to communicate beyond that. Although I think the closer you get from the core city out to the suburban ring, the more people realize that the boundary lines are imaginary, and you guys ought to sit down together and try to perfect a system that can get me to my work efficiently. If it means some sort of loss of local control, I'm really not concerned about it, that citizen will say. I want you to get me to my job faster. Now, those things, maybe they should mean more than they do. They do mean more in Harney County, or Baker County, or Coos County. But I think that these kinds of organizations can deliver the goods. And we're in a crisis situation almost in the metropolitan area, in terms of the transportation system, in terms of the air pollution difficulties. It's the worst basin in the United States, potentially.
Have you had an opportunity to you mentioned the concept
we've held meetings and frequently see the people from the Lane County COG and the Mid-Willamette Valley COG. And I think, I don't want to speak for them, but I think they would be also somewhat concerned about the planning efforts and the work that they have done to date, and to have this stripped out and be made effectively meaningless. You should get, the better information is to get it from them, and I hope they'll appear on this question. But we do talk to them continually. We see more, in some ways, I see more of people from Portland and Clackamas County, and even in some cases from Marion County and Lane County, than I do my colleagues who are county officials in Baker County or Wallowa or Harney. Washington County has more in common with the city of Beaverton and the city of Portland and Multnomah County than it does with Coos County. And that makes your job enormously difficult.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Paul Rudy of the Coos County Planning Commission.
A coastal person, not necessarily an Oregonian. I lived 40 years on the coast, part of the time in California, on the North Coast, and the rest of the time in Oregon. I have become involved in land use problems in the coast, primarily through my concern for the Oregon estuaries, and in particular the Coos Bay estuary. And in working to try to preserve this estuary in terms of its potentialities as a multiple-use estuary, it soon became apparent to me that this could not be done using the local units of government. And in fact, the salvation of the estuaries is coming about not through local governmental bodies, but of course through state and federal government. We were lucky in the estuaries in that there was a public right which has been recognized, and it's up to the state agencies and federal agencies to protect that public right to the state and federal government. I moved, by becoming involved in this, I moved, of course, out of the estuary area and became involved in land uses throughout the county and around the estuary. And I believe that the same facts hold true, that you will not preserve the much of what you and I are concerned about, and I think this bill is concerned about, you will not preserve it with the local unit of government that does not exist. And I am a member of the Coos County Planning Commission. I'm a member of the Coos Bay Estuary Committee, which just finished developing a land use plan for the Coos Bay Estuary, and I'm a member of the advisory committee from the OCCD, so I've been very active in all of these. So that I see a very great need for something beyond the local government, because these pressures exist in terms of private ownership and what private ownership means to many people. The pressures that develop through the free enterprise system and the making another buck on a piece of filled land, on a wetland, or on the filling of an agricultural piece of land, does not seem to be stopped by our local unit of government. So that, although I'm not terribly familiar with all that's in the McPherson bill, the Senate Bill 100, I feel very strongly that if we are going to, in fact, protect the land and develop a reasonable land use plan, we're going to have to get something above and beyond the local units of government. The estuary, I say there was a recognized public right I believe there is also a recognized public right in the land, but it is not as well recognized, and this is what this bill tries to do.
Question?
Don't answer it if you don't. I don't think you tell the answer. Just a thought occurs to me. Your philosophy of land use, and I think it might be well if the committee have a chance to deal with this question through the process of hearing. You mentioned free enterprise system and preserving or protecting the land, and you know the thought occurred to me is maybe this is a question that we ought to be thinking about some place along the line. What is the philosophy of land use?
Right, I believe it's central to the whole issue. I believe that owning a piece of land is somewhat like you don't say you own a child when you finally get your child, your first child, your second child. Nobody talks about owning that child. I believe the same way with land. You do not own that piece of land in that sense. You have responsibility to that land. That land belongs to this generation and generations to come. And there are rights to that land that go way beyond private ownership.
Okay, thank you. Bud Swalberg of the State Soil and Water Conservation Commission.
State Soil and Water Conservation Commission. Excuse me. My comments are brief, and I'll try and keep them concise. And when I'm finished, I'll be glad to respond to any questions you may have. First, I want to say that I'm in complete agreement with the objectives of this bill and the need for strong legislation that will give maximum guidance to the problems of proper land use in relation to all the component parts of our society. This is an act relating to land use, and I suggest again, as I did to Senator McPherson's meeting earlier, that the proposed department should be called a land use commission or a land use and development. The terms conservation and use are not the same, and this is evidently recognized that the Joint Legislative Committee referred to in the bill is on land use and not on land conservation and development. I point out the State Soil and Water Conservation Commission and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts organized within the state have been given responsibility for the conservation of natural resources under ORS 568-210 and 568-800. I'm sure the proposed name for this department is certain to lead to confusion between our agency and the proposed department. It already has caused confusion in the minds of many people around the state. Since the whole proposal is about land use and land use development, this is what the department should be called. Legislation is more acceptable if it is clear, concise, and has no hidden motives. I think people will think that you're trying to hide something, whether you are or not, by not affirming what it actually is. Now, this concern is not only mine. The Oregon Association of Conservation Districts, at their annual meeting held in Lincoln City last November, adopted a resolution to the effect that the proposed commission and department be given a name more descriptive of the actual purpose. A copy of this resolution is attached to my written remarks pertaining to this, and I'll give it to you. Part of the Oregon Soil and Water Conservation District law that pertains to the procedure constitutes Soil and Water Conservation District as a public body states in subsection 4 of ORS 468-410, I quote, if the Secretary of State finds the name proposed for a district is identical with that of any other soil and water conservation district of this state, or so nearly similar as to lead to confusion or uncertainty, he shall certify such fact to the commission, which shall thereupon submit to the Secretary of State a name for the district which is not subject to such defects. I'm not sure if you want to consider this a precedent, but I can assure you it has helped to eliminate the confusion and uncertainty concerning the names of the 56 soil and water conservation districts in the state. It appears to me that Section 20, concerning the membership of the district council or local government, has some built-in problems in regards to a uniform approach in making land use decisions across the state. Now, the way I read this, in Lane and Douglas County, the council could conceivably consist of only two people. The county chairman of the county commission and the mayor of the largest city in the county. If they wish, they could compose the council in this manner and adopt the bylaws to this effect. These similar circumstances and a very limited membership could be a problem in other planning districts too. My point is, I think the membership of this council should be spelled out and made more definitive, more definite. I very strongly urge the representatives of the soil and water conservation districts and each planning district be a member of the council. I recommend this because soil and water conservation districts have had 34 years experience in weighing alternatives and making land use decisions at a local level. It is through these districts that the soil surveys and interpretations, which are the most basic tools we have in making correct land use decisions, are available. Soil and water conservation districts are the best source of natural resource and information input that is available to the planning districts. I think it would be a mistake not to require that this vast amount of information be made available to each of the planning districts in this manner. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to respond.
But by the 14th or 15th, I hope that we'll be able to get into work sessions, and I would appreciate it if you could be one of the three or four, five or six resource people. We could just ask to be there for their advice and counsel, depending on what our directions will be.
I possibly will be out of state at that time, but we can have somebody from our office there.
Could you? We'll keep you notified. Cameron, Jess Cameron, is that right? The governor's office? I can't read.
Jess Cameron.
Well, Jess. Oh, you ought to try this on. You sign checks that way. All right, Kessler, before you begin, Senator Thorne wishes to ask you a question. How do you spell your name?
With an introduction like that, what group do you represent? How many members do you have?
2,090,000 people in the state of Oregon. That's all associated with them. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm here to present to the committee an amendment that has been directed to present to you from the State Land Board. It has the approval of the State Land Board, and it is on the advice of Chief Herman of the Attorney General's Office. Page 21 of the Senate Bill, line 31, we propose that you would add the following. All lands and water lands under the control of the State Land Board are excluded from this act upon action by the land board within 1 year of passage in developing and presenting to the commission its own comprehensive plan for such lands. The chairman, the reason for the amendment is the fact that in our constitution as well as in our statute, the lands under the land board are the responsibility of the state land board, a constitutional body, and representing the three top constitutional officers of the state. Upon the advice of council, they feel that there is a possible conflict with the development of land use planning for those lands. And in order to remove the potential conflict, this particular amendment then would exclude from the act those lands, but would require the land board, and undoubtedly the Division of State Lands and their administrative arm, to develop a comprehensive plan for those lands and present it to the commission.
And the one-year time frame is consistent with the action of the commission itself.
For commission approval?
For commission, yes.
Or amendment? Or whatever?
Well, I would think that it would be for the commission to accept it as the plan for those lands and then to be incorporated then into the state or into level of planning as it might fit wherever those lands might be.
Well, that is a cop-out. That is asking for permission to do your own thing and isn't giving the commission the right to negate or amend or change.
Well, I think it would not be I would certainly envision that it would not be nearly as severe as that. There certainly would be every opportunity for coordination between those lands. But if the problem is a legal problem, I'm not a lawyer, but the legal problem was brought to the attention of the land board and the decision,
right.
The way in which the problem could be resolved was simply to provide that the land board would develop and present to the commission their comprehensive plan for the development and handling of the lands under their constitutionally granted mandate. And they would do it within that year of time that is part of the act itself that pertains to the commission.
Well, but in real terms, in one fell swoop, it removes all the state controls. Perhaps as having, you know, had a plan developed for them by the state land board autonomously. Well, you mentioned a dialogue, fine, but except for the dialogue, autonomously they would have done so. Senator Wingard asked, what percent of Oregon's land is owned and controlled by and under the jurisdiction of the state land board?
That's Senator Ripper's question.
Senator Ripper asked. Today.
What percentage?
Yeah.
We have about 62 million acres in the state, and we have about 800,000 acres that are under the land board.
All right. But it would, Kessler, do that, right? It would just, you developed your own plan.
Well, I think literally, but I can't conceive of the planning that the land board would do for their lands that would be inconsistent with the planning that would be done on those lands were they not on the land board. They're grazing lands, they're timberlands. These are two basic classifications that we're speaking to.
Mr. Chairman, would that include Boardman?
Yes. Those lands would be, those lands of course are covered by at least being the state ongoing.
well, what Kessler, forgive
me, Chairman, really, it's a problem, and if there's some other way to resolve the problem, I would welcome the advice of the committee.
I'll instruct our counsel to go into what seems to be a statutory or legal or whatever kind of conflict.
Ripper wants to ask a question.
Senator Ripper.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Cannon, would this also mean then that you might decide that money again is more important? Like if you want to take gravel out of rivers or something like this, that you could pretty well be free of set up this kind of operation, whether this fit in with the land use plan or not, wouldn't it?
Well, the removal of gravel is under the control of the Division of Land. They go through a permit system. The actual material itself is under the ownership of the state, and the land board is directed to look at the best interests of the state, but also to try and maximize the common school fund. That's where the money's go.
Well, what I'm getting at, would this maximizing of the state interest of getting the most return, would this take precedence over whatever the land use plans were that the state might, or this group might?
I don't think not. The law is quite clear in directing the land board to look to the best interests of all of the state rather than just to the common school fund, but that is the basic, and there has been a conflict, frankly.
But if you went in with those powers and the commission had no power to negate what you proposed, you could do as Senator Ripper insinuates would be done. To maximize return, to enrich the common school fund, you could ask that more gravel be taken out of here, or have the state forester allow clear cutting here or there, some tracks that were adjacent to some blocked up private tracks where the land use plan said we'd like to reduce harvesting or something. You could do that if this exemption was allowed.
We would have 1 year to develop a comprehensive plan that indicates the thoughts of the land board in regard to the sinkhole.
Other questions?
I would welcome the opportunity to work with the committee to try to resolve the problem.
I wish you would. I wish you too would. Just jot down something like February 14th or 15th is the work session. There's a Wednesday and Thursday. It's an evening meeting for a work session, maybe. Thank you. Mr. Gates of Lincoln City, are you pro or con before you?
No, I haven't.
You haven't made your mind up?
Yeah, my mind.
Good. We'll see you around, Mr. Gates. Wait a minute. I'm going to stay with the proponents here for a minute. When you get your mind made up, you get you on board. Craig Markham of the Sierra Club. We welcome you back, Mr. Gates. I just wanted to try to divide this here.
If at all possible, mine is merely a question in regard to the bill. I won't be able to.
Okay, Mr. Markham, let's let a neutral preempt you for a minute. Come on, Mr. Gates, and ask your question. Mr. Markham, I'm asking to let Mr. Gates speak there for a minute. Sierra Club guys are okay, Mr. Gates.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, you know, as you know, I'm Lincoln City, as stated on here. I'm also city attorney at that esteemed body. I would like to address myself to a couple of questions as a small town attorney, not in any official capacity at all. As you know, this bill directly affects, or will directly affect, about everything that goes on in the coastal area. My prime concern is, my prime question, I haven't had time to go through the entire bill, but I've gotten as far as page 9.
Are you prepared today, Mr. Gates? It's about 40 other pages.
Yes. Okay, I am prepared to speak to the one issue that I have here. Lincoln City is an area, as you well know, consisting of about 4,510 population. We have had a little problem in the comprehensive land use plan. We have been one of the first cities in the state, however, to come up with a comprehensive plan under the Senate Bill 10. Now, in this thing, the thing that considers that concerns me, we've spent approximately $70,000 in planning, or we have appropriated, or have spent, or are going to spend in the immediate future, which amounts to approximately $105 per person, man, woman, and child in Lincoln City. To date, we have not realized all the magnificent goals that we set forth, but we do have these funds that have been expended. Then I see that by definition in District 4, which we're a part of, which is Lincoln County, Benton County, and Lane County, Lincoln County has 25,000 population. The head of this district would be from the head of the, and I may be wrong here, this is my question. As I read the bill, it would look like that the chairman of the planning or the county board of the most populous county, which would be Lynn County, would be the chairman of this board. Then there would be the chairman of Lincoln County and the chairman of Benton and Lane County, and there would be a member from the most populous city in the county. So when we and these would comprise two-thirds of the membership, as I understand this bill. We get to the point where the other one-third is made up of everybody else, so representatives from all the other service district cities, other bodies, so that Lincoln City, by having a population of 4,510 and having spent more money per capita than anybody else in the whole the state that I know of, is going to be regaled to the position of being in a one-third position of having anything whatsoever to say about what goes on in our coastal area. And I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned because we are the people who have had to bear this burden down there for a long period of time. It is a problem. I admit it's a problem. It's a very serious problem. Every day, I lived there 30 years. Every day we see things eroding. We're trying on a local level to do everything we can to stop this erosion. And I submit to you, gentlemen, that we really are concerned. I say we, maybe I should say me because I represent only myself here. We're really concerned about the people who have been putting the bill for the planning, for the development, for this type of thing, to try and put a hand on the sink of having some representation under this type of bill. I'm concerned then that I look at this planning chart. I think that it probably should be turned the other way. This inverse thing would give it, it would look like the city is on top. The city isn't. The city is subjected to everything else. Our city would have almost nothing whatsoever to say about what goes on in our city. I submit to you, gentlemen, that we're really interested. Give us a little voice in this and let us help you. Let us go with you.
Well, Mr. Gates, I can't help but interrupt you. You see, you're expressing the whole problem. You've been fighting for years, you've been spending money for years, and you haven't solved the problem. That's what the bill is about. To solve that problem. And you do that with teeth.
Okay. Can I speak to that?
You sure can.
Okay. Here we are. Our city has only been formed in about 6 years. In 6 years, we've spent this money. Right now, we have a brand new planning commission, a brand new plan coming to work February 1st, a brand new city council, a brand new city manager. We have brand new officials all the way through our city, and we're prepared. We are prepared to put some teeth in our situation. We're bringing in a planner. We're going to be the only city of our size to have a professional planner.
It's not going to solve it. I'll tell you right now, it won't solve your problem.
It may not solve our problem, but we're making every effort, and we would like to have, because this is a problem, we would like to have a little more voice. We're not that adverse. We would like to have a little more voice as representing the seat of the problem. Part of it.
Don't your city people talk to the county commissioners? Do your city people get along with your county commissioners?
I am not here to discuss the politics at this point. I am here to...
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Fine. Yes, we do. We do talk to our county officials. We do talk to COG. We do talk to the League of Oregon Cities. We do talk to the OCDC. We do talk to every one of these areas, because that is how we have established what our priorities and needs are in our coastal area. That's why we have said these are the things we must do, we have to do, because there are obligations, because God only gave us one ocean.
Well, we're just trying to help you. I hope you understand.
Well, fine, but let us help you a little more. Let us not be guided by an area, gentlemen, and I'm sorry I'm not better prepared, because I would have liked to have been, but I didn't realize I was coming here until just a few minutes. This area is what would be in our district, in district number 4. And this is a very...
How far away from are they?
Sorry, I can't hear. I've grown up. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We're represented by Benton County and Lynn County and Lincoln County. Okay, Lincoln City in this thing would be regaled to the third position, and all the rest of the smaller units of government in this entire governmental body in District 4. So your help to us, in effect, is completely taking a voice under this bill. And I'm saying this, we want help, man, and we want to be of help to you, because we realize the problems, because we live with these problems every day.
Now, I think you're against the bill, though.
No, I'm not sure I am. I am against what I see in the way the membership is who these committees are established. And I'm not trying to horn in here.
I'd like to have your suggestions on how you would... How would you remedy that situation if you don't have it right now? Bring it to us or send us a letter or something. I'd like to.
I wanted to try to get some other people on and Senator Burns has a question.
Well, just this, Mr. Gates. We'd feel better if Lincoln and Tillamook were together, or if we just with the coastal counties and Lincoln Tillamook and went down to that part of the lane that's along the
coast. Well, I would certainly feel better because anyone on the coast has similar problems. We're interested in our estuaries. I don't find any fault any of the proponents who are in here today. I find fault only in representation of us who have really gone to the trouble and the expense and the money to try and do something about our own.
I wish when you address yourself to Senator Wingard's question that in that response you would give us your views with respect to your local financing situation. I know that you have a large percentage of people in Lincoln County that are retired people, and I know you've had difficulties passing bond issues somewhat similar to some of the school problems in the Woodburn area. I'd be interested in knowing whether you think there is a local capability, assisting tax base or disposition on the part of the people there to continue or to begin to appropriate the money locally to address themselves to these problems. Don't respond now, but if you submit a written response, Senator Wingard, I appreciate if you put that in there.
I got three fast questions.
Yeah.
Yes, all the yes or noers. Just for fun, do you consider the creation of a port district a part of sensible land use planning, an expansion of a port district, and so forth? Do you consider a unified port district for Lincoln County a part of sensible land use planning?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay, then I'll have to ask the other two. Thank you.
May I just respond?
Well, I've got two more people to get on.
I would say that if all the ports, all the water recreational areas of Lincoln County had similar uses, i.e. if they were all deep water, if they were all recreational, if they were all like Devil's Lake, then I would say we need a unified port district. But in an area that we likely have, with the port differences that we have, I submit that this probably is a little unworkable.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Marshall, can you come back to the... Could you please, because Helen Glenn is here from Roseburg. Helen, would you wind up with you? Right? You came from Roseburg?
Yes.
Could we hear from you, please?
No.
Yes, ma'am. I guess that'll probably have to be it for today.
My name is Helen Glenn, realtor, lifetime resident of Douglas County, Oregon, and I've been in the real estate selling business for 18 years. I have seen what has happened to the land in Douglas County, Lincoln County, and many other counties of Oregon. My developers and people who have little concern about the livability of Oregon for us, for our children, and for our grandchildren. I have attended planning commission meetings for the last couple of years and observed the pressures that are brought at the county level by developers, by attorneys, by sellers of land. I have had a night call from a big California developer threatening to drag me through the mud and a lot more likely if I don't stop fighting against subdivisions with no roads adequate, no adequate sewage, no adequate water, perhaps no water. Here in Douglas County, we have many places where the soil will not permit such a tank to operate satisfactorily. The rivers and streams in Douglas County, outside of the famous North Rock Fall River and heads at Diamond Lake, are oversubscribed. Water districts are in dire trouble. Lack of proper sewage is creating very bad problems. Something has to be done at the state level with a set of laws and regulations. The present State Board of Health are helpless to enforce the present regulations and law, who really enforces any other laws pertaining to land development, to the preservation of the future of Oregon. We are indeed very fortunate to live in Oregon, but it won't be the Oregon we love if developers, selfish interests, greedy sellers are allowed to continue to set up the land without proper laws to protect the state of Oregon. The time to act is now, while the legislature is in session. If you love Oregon, you will do something about preserving the environment and the livability of Oregon. You will make stiff laws on the development of subdivisions, making the developers provide adequate roads, sewers, and water, and not cut up the land. Flee from the state, leave the overburdened taxpayers to pick up the tab, for the roads, the water, and sewage. Think about it. Also the schools, fire districts, water districts, sewer districts. It will have to be provided by the influx of population into Oregon. The whirlwind economic and population boom so willingly endured for so long by our neighbors to the south is coming here. A recent public opinion poll conducted in California revealed that 29% of Californians wants to leave the state, and Oregon was their first choice for a new location. Think about it. Based on California's current population of about 20 million people, that's about 6 million to satisfy Californians who would like to move to Oregon. Nearly triple the census population of our state, our entire state. We are fast running out of available land for parks, agriculture, green belt, recreation, housing, schools, and industry. Our fast growth and predictions for the future clearly indicate that a comprehensive land use plan is the key to preserving the livability of our state. When it comes to environmental plans and responsibility, Oregon is immense. Our subdivisions and the big percentage of cases are immense. Do you want urban sprawl that we see in California and other states? If you don't, then support land use plans and provide legislation. At this term of the legislation session, Senate Bill 100 is a step in that direction. As a realtor who loves Oregon and wants to see our livability safe, it has been a struggle to fight for the cause. For many real estate brokers, many attorneys, many people do not seem to be concerned about tomorrow. In the last 5 years, I have made 4 trips to Europe, 2 were in the International Real Estate Congress in 26 countries attending. And each trip, my main concern is to see how Europe has provided laws to save the livability of their cities, the green belt, the agricultural land, the farms, and the very beautiful parks and countryside. I come home actually sick at heart to see how Oregon is going, how California has gone, how the state of Washington and the other states will go if we don't have land use plans. The time is now. Time is of the essence. Europe is much older than we, and they have beautiful countryside, no urban sprawl, no subdivisions like we are scattering throughout Oregon without proper planning, proper roads, proper water planning, and sewer planning. By 1990, state officials estimate Oregon's population will have grown by more than 1 million people. Think about it. Many real estate brokers seem only to be concerned with the fast buck, but they would only stop to think if they go first class the first round, it will be first class all the way. Let's have brand new planning.
Well, all right. Ron, what's good for the goose is good for the gander now. Thank you very much.
One question.
Senator McPherson.
You are from Douglas County. Do you see local government as able to handle the problems that you've seen, or do you see them?
But I am not very much in love with Paul either. Douglas County.
I'd like to ask Mr. Davis and Ms. Cohen and Mr. Markham and Mr. Johnson and Mr. McGee and anyone else I've missed if they wish to come back Tuesday. And Tuesday we're going to go back up to our regular room and we're going to stay in that room for the rest of this session. Back up 3:15. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, after I adjourn.
In regard, I'm going to say.
Yes, Mr. Davis.
I work for the Veterans Administration. I'm a male nurse there at the Veterans Hospital. I cannot be here to see you.
How long will your testimony take?
5 minutes, 4 and a half.
All right, come on. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Robert Davis from Douglas County. I'm speaking for myself. I'm employed by the Veterans Administration in Roseburg. I've lived in Douglas County for 14 years. My family and I have lived for the past 11 years on a small irrigated ranch raising walnuts, berries, vegetables, some livestock, and more Oregonians. I would like to present a brief summary of an attempt for an orderly and legal establishment of comprehensive planning and zone area in a small part of Douglas County and the ensuing journey we took within and nowhere. If you will bear with me, I believe this is pertinent regarding the legislation of Senate Bill 100. Because of the time covered and the people involved, this will be very short. Approximately 6 years ago, in the summer of 66, in an attempt to abort the development of the Douglas County Lodge Trail, Fort Nexplar property, we initiated the first petition
in the county to retain our place in surrounding farms and ranches in an area of agricultural grazing and timber. This was the first zoned area and the largest section of agricultural grazing and timberland without subdivision in the county. We had 95% of the residents signing in favor of the petition. We subsequently followed the steps and hearings before the Planning Commission and County Commissioners. With the final approval in 1969, we were given to understand that this area was inviolate unless, at the direct wish of the residents, a petition could be circulated to change the status and nature of our zoned area known as Fair Oaks. In 1971, two farms in the area were purchased by individuals for the purpose of breaking up the land into parcels and subdivisions. Neither speculator lived in the area or were concerned with or respected our zoning. We went again to the planning office. We're told to circulate another petition, which we did, and again had over 95% of the residents' signatures. We presented our petitions to the county commissioners. They took it under advisement. In the interim, Mr. Bullock, one of the speculators, appealed to the Planning Commission. The residents of Fair Oaks area were at that meeting protesting the approval of the zone change, and his request was denied. 2 weeks later, he again appealed to the Planning Commission, and it was approved. Members of the Fair Oaks area appeared before the Board of Commissioners to protest this action. At this time, the commissioners stated they did not know if the Douglas County zoning ordinance was legal. We then researched the origin of the ordinance, and the district attorney for Douglas County declared it a valid and legal ordinance, and also ruled that it was illegal to parcel AGT land. Disregarding these opinions, AGT land was subdivided, and trailers were moved onto the land on the one hand, and Mr. Bullock continued his parcelization on the other. In an effort to retain what we believe fundamental land use conservation at this time, we began a search for advice, aid, and appeal. We were joined by other citizen groups in other parts of the county, all trying to extricate themselves out of the same predicament. We made trips to Salem, we talked to Bob Oliver and Robert Logan. We talked to Mr. Black, then with the State Realty Office. We also contacted Mr. L.B. Day's office, and then the State Health Department. We wrote letters to a number of officials, including the State Attorney General, as well as inviting an investigation by members of Osprey. Always two things were suggested. One, we get an attorney and take it to the local authority. So we retained an attorney, Keith Rodman of Eugene. The other groups retained attorneys as well. We appealed our case before none other than the county commissioners, who again ruled against us. It was suggested we contact Senator Jason Bowe, who in turn arranged a meeting at the Fair Oaks Grange with the governor's executive officer, Robert G. Davis, and with our citizen group, Osprey representative as well. And the other groups came from other areas of the county who were proponents of zoning, land conservation, and orderly growth. This was in December of 1971. Mr. Davis promised within a few weeks to send a number of state officials to meet with us. He left, and I was not able to contact him through his office again, or did he ever contact us again. At no time through these years did anyone ever suggest that we were not going the proper route. All agreed that something should be done. Therefore, I feel that Bill 100, through its preamble, especially page 2, lines 13 and 14, and through the policy statement, specifically page 3, lines 4, 5, and 6, as well as the stated desires and steps for implementation to conserve prime farmland, provides for direct and effective intervention by a less than highly prejudiced local government, and is certainly a step forward in securing what I believe to be Oregon's finest asset, the land and the land use. Thank you.
Question? I want to commend you on an excellent and brief and helpful piece of testimony. Thank you. All right. We're adjourned until next Tuesday.